Good morning. This is Ricky Harrison from Beulah Baptist Church. I'd like to welcome you to the adult Sunday school class this morning. The title of this lesson is Saved, and the theme for it is Salvation Has Always Been Granted Through Faith. The scripture is taken from Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 5, and we may back up a few verses before that. But let's look at this lesson this morning, Saved. John 14:6 says, "There is no salvation apart from personal faith in Jesus Christ as Lord." For centuries, people have tried all kinds of things to get right with God. There's been a lot of quote-unquote religious people who have missed the mark. Different cultures have made sacrifices. They've made idols to try to appease the gods. They bowed down. They worshiped everything that we can think of. But Paul says there is no salvation for anyone that doesn't call upon the name of Jesus. Our salvation is rooted in the incarnation and the resurrection in Jesus and what Jesus completed, his work there on the cross. This morning, before we get into verse number 5, I'd like to read the first four verses of Romans chapter 10. And it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." I think this is very important as we look at Romans chapter 10 this morning, that Paul is urging his people, the people of Israel, to be saved. And I believe this lesson here this morning speaks very strongly to us today as well. Paul is looking at Israel's situation. They had been preached to, they had been taught, they had even been eyewitnesses to Jesus Christ and what he had done there on the earth. They had failed because they did not seek righteousness through faith. As it says in those first few verses, they would seek righteousness from their own way. They based their salvation more on works and especially the law, because they believed if they followed the laws, they were saved. But Christ, as he says in that verse there, that fourth verse, he said he brought about the end of the law. And based on, you know, what he did on the cross. And for us, if we'll confess and believe in order to be saved, sadly enough, Paul closes out Romans chapter 10 by saying that all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And I think this lesson is about how Israel was a religious people. And there are a lot of religious people in this world today who are lost, but they're not a people of righteousness. And I believe this speaks to us as America today and especially into the world as well. Our country has been blessed beyond measure. And here we are at home again for the sixth week in a row without physically being able to go and worship and gathering together. And, you know, a lot of us have looked at ways, and I know that our church, like all churches, are looking at different ways that we might gather together and meet. And maybe, you know, we're complaining, or we may blame this person or this group or that group. And all this sounds very, very familiar to what's happening here. And it's a tough situation that we're in. But I think we need to take a serious look at our, maybe what we're doing in the church. What do we need to do? Is God trying to point out something to us? And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But to me, it sounds a lot like the people of Israel. And I believe that this is the generation that we're in. And this is our opportunity to turn back to God. And I hope, being at home, that we have learned some things. I hope we've grown and got closer to God. So let's see what verse 5 says. He says, "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." And here in these verses, we're going to see that Paul is looking at the status of his people right there. And as I said earlier, that Jesus was the end of the law. He, when he came and he lived on the earth, you didn't need the law. What the law was brought about for the reason to bring you to God, it was not to save you. Now we're saved by faith. And Paul is using a lot of quotes here from the Old Testament in this chapter 10. And one of them is from Leviticus 18:5, where he says that God is warning the people of Israel not to imitate the behavior of the Egyptians or the Canaanites, the people that they had been in conflict with. To receive the blessings of God, they must be obedient to God's command. But we know that too many times that Israel had rebelled and did not keep God's command. And a lot of times that's what happens with us when we're not in a right relationship with God. Verse 6 and 7 says, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead." Again, Paul is going to the Old Testament here. And he's using that phrase, "that is," to explain and say that it's not in your heart. God had warned the Israelites that when he delivered them safely into this land and had taken care of them through their journey, that they were not to claim that he did this because of their righteousness. He chose these people, and Israel had done nothing to deserve God's choice of them. And that's what Moses had warned Israel about as well, that God's blessings came through obedience, and disobedience brings about a curse from God. And we got to be obedient to God, as it says there, just like Moses was telling the Israelites that they needed to, if they wanted to have access to God's commands, that they didn't have to have someone to go up to heaven. We can't go up to heaven and bring God or Jesus Christ down, and as it says there, to ascend in heaven. And Paul was telling his readers that Christ had already come down from heaven, and they had access now through him through faith. So, and he even goes on and says there in those verses that who shall descend into the deep? Jesus Christ had already been raised from the dead, and Paul is making the point here that he had been raised from the dead. No one needs to bring him up. There was nothing else that was necessary for Christ to do. Verse 8 and 9 says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Verse 8 starts with a question, and it says, "But what saith it?" Paul had explained what the righteousness-based faith, what it did not say. Now he's explaining what it does say. Paul is saying that what Christ did is not hidden. And they've seen it, and we got to put our faith in God. We got to put our faith in His word there, and it was brought to the people by people like Paul, and he says it's got to be in your heart, and he uses the word mouth and heart right there, to simply mean we just can't talk about it. It's not something that we go around and talk, and hey, I'm a Christian, but we don't do these things, and we don't have Christ living in our heart. Then we're not a Christian, and I always think about what Brother Messer said. He always said it was a matter of the heart, and this is what has been preached all along, and we just don't need to just have talk. It needs to be, when we're saved, it has to be in our heart. Jesus Christ has got to live in our heart, and that's what this whole lesson is about. He says, if you'll confess with your mouth. Confess meaning that we're agreeing to something that is true. The believer publicly agrees with other believers about Lord Jesus Christ. J. Vernon McGee talked a lot about this verse, and he said a lot of times there's been confusion about a public confession. And this is just some of his thoughts on there. He said a person and I agree, can get saved anywhere. The Holy Spirit comes on that person, they can be saved. Just like this morning, if you're listening here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you need to confess your sins. You need to believe in Him, put your faith in Him, and you can be saved here this morning. But what J. Vernon McGee was saying, he says that is too many people want to say you got to go down front. A lot of times people go down front. They don't know exactly what they're doing. They may feel the pressure or whatever. They feel like, hey, I've got to do something. And it's not, when this is something that happens in our heart, and when we confess Him as our Lord and we believe in our heart that God had raised Him from the dead, you know, he goes on to say, J. Vernon McGee does, that we'll confess Him as the Lord. We're not going to be ashamed. We're going to want to proclaim Him. And we're going to want to proclaim Him publicly and join a Bible-believing church, an evangelical church. And too many times people are scared to make that move or they're timid and not sure what to do. But we're not going to be ashamed of Him. And you got to think of it this way, that at one time all Christians were lost. So, you know, we need to make that move. You make that move this morning. Do it while salvation is possible. Don't wait till it's too late. But you got to make sure that your heart is right. It's not something we just talk about. It's got to be a matter of the heart that he's talking about. Verse 10, it goes on a little bit more and talks about this. It says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Paul said, this is why you confess and you believe. He says the faith and the belief resulted in righteousness, and confession leads to salvation. Confessing and believing, they're two things right there, but it's one act of faith. And it also, when we make that move, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, then this describes our new relationship with God. It's our justification. And we talked about a couple of weeks ago, we've been justified. Now we're working into this part of being sanctified. And that's that talks about our relationship that we have with God. Verse 11 and 12, he says, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him." God doesn't disappoint. Life may not always go our way. Things may not happen just like we think they should, but God makes no mistakes. And we should never have the reason to be ashamed. And Paul's making this case again here that salvation is for everyone. Saying that there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, and talking about the Gentile. And he's used this phrase here before, saying that all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Not some, but all have sinned and come short. So, put our faith in Jesus Christ, we'll be justified through His faith. All of us have the same Lord. And when we call upon Him, we have those riches that comes along with that. Verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This verse is a very familiar verse. It's one we've used many, many times in the Roman road, a plan of salvation. And it's a verse that a lot of us are very, very familiar with. I want you to listen to what in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 32. I want you to listen at what this verse says. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered." Again, Paul is going back to the Old Testament, emphasizing how available salvation is. And that's what Joel was referring to here, is God pouring out His Spirit on the day of the Lord. And Paul was applying this verse here to Jesus. He was using Jesus here. And that's what he's saying. The gospel is for all people, everyone, regardless of their background. It is for everyone. Verse 14 and 15, he says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So if, as the verse, as the scripture says, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, everybody needs the opportunity to hear this gospel message. And if they don't hear the gospel message, they're not going to know about salvation. And they got to have access to the gospel. Verse 15 there talks about how it's necessary to preach the gospel. And that's one of our responsibilities at Beulah. Our responsibility and for us is to proclaim or to preach the gospel. As Brother Gary says many times, our goal is all about souls. And that's certainly what that it should be. And we have, I got to thinking about some of the preachers that have gone out from Beulah that were ordained at Beulah. And I can think of about five men in my lifetime that have been ordained and commissioned at Beulah to go out and to preach the word of God. And that's that speaks well for our church, but I think we have to look at, what other responsibilities do we have? I think about these five men, and it's from the 60s up until Todd being our last one here, but it says how beautiful it is for their feet that they preach the gospel. Another word for the for beautiful, another meaning there, simply means the timing of it, that it is timely. So let's think about what kind of responsibility that we have as a church, as a Christian here this morning. We know the plan of salvation. We're familiar with that. We do a lot of things at Beulah that are good and are directed in this area. Missions. We have mission emphasis several times during the year. Annie Armstrong, Lottie Moon, all of these things that we're part of, and they are very good things. What do we need to do? What do we need to do individually? What do we need to do corporately as a church here? As it says there, we're to preach the word. We're to proclaim this good news of the gospel. And we need to do it each and every time. And I've thought about just where we are right now with this situation that we're faced with where we're not in church. Is God trying to tell us something? Is God trying to show us? And I know all of us want to get back to church. I do. I don't know when that's going to be, but is God trying to teach us some things right now? God does teach us things from time to time, and He uses different situations to do that with. And I believe that this is probably one of those times. And again, I mentioned about 2 weeks ago that this is a great opportunity to share the gospel with someone that's maybe it's not a doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Maybe it's a person that does not attend church, or maybe they have fallen by the side. They have gotten slack in their attendance or in their commitment to Jesus Christ. This is a great opportunity. So that's why I think this lesson speaks so strongly to us today. And I want to encourage you, and I want to challenge each one of us that we would be a witness for Jesus Christ in our everyday walk and in our talk, but most of all, have Him in our heart. If we have Jesus Christ in our heart, we're going to want to do those things that proclaim Him. We're going to want to witness for Him. So I'm looking forward to when we go back to church, as all of us are. And I think it's going to be a great day. So thank you for listening this morning. I want to mention a few prayer request here this morning. Please remember Teresa Swanner and Lamar. It's her sister Christy passed away this week. Continue to remember Miss Frances Alexander, and there's some others there that I've talked to this week. And thank you for feedback on the lessons. And pray for Pray for Brother Gary and Miss Dixie as they continue to lead us. Pray for our deacons and the decisions that we're faced with and the things that we got to do. And thank you for the group that sings and puts the program together, Luke and all of his guys. Thank you for what they do. Pray for our country. Pray for our leaders. A lot of decisions have to be made, and they're not easy decisions. So be in prayer. So let's have a word of prayer before we go. Thank you for listening this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Most of all, God, we thank you that we do have a plan of salvation, Lord, that you have provided for us through your Son, Jesus. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone that hears this morning, that if they're lost, that they don't have that assurance, they don't have that hope, they don't have that security. Lord, I pray that this morning that they would make that decision. I pray that your Holy Spirit would move on them right now, Lord, that they might feel that the pull of the Holy Spirit and so strong, God, that they've got to be saved. Lord, I pray for those that Lord, that I mentioned here this morning, Lord, for Christy's family, Lord, and I pray for Miss Frances Alexander and all that she's going through, and just continue to bless them, Glenn and Dawn, as they help out there. Lord, I pray for Brother Gary and Miss Dixie, just continue to bless them, keep them healthy, Lord, and just help them with every decision that has to be made. And Lord, as he prepares the sermons for us each week, Lord, I pray for our deacons. I pray for Luke and the group that sing, that put it together. And Lord, just thank you for the talents that you have given them, because it sounds great. And Lord, I just pray that we continue to just lift your name in everything that we do at Beulah. Lord, I pray for our nation. I pray for our leaders. I pray that, Lord, that we'd make good decisions. I pray they'd seek your face during this time, Lord. And, Lord, we always want to give you all the honor and the praise and glory. Help us as we go through this time. Reveal those things that we need to see, the things that we need to do. Lord, I just ask you to just forgive me my sins. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.